Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off the third hour of the program. Phones are open, and you can join us here. Coming up, want to get into what's going on with Library and also the Ripple case. These are two very important cases with regard to the SEC continuing their attack against the cryptocurrency industry in civil court. We'll talk about what happened coming up here. But with you tonight in studio is Ian
and Jay.
And also, I mentioned we should talk about the changes that have happened to Free Talk Live this week, and I think now is as good a time as any to do that. On Monday, I made an announcement on our website at freetalklive.com, which you can go and read at your leisure, about the Free Talk Live network of shows that we've started this week featuring Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, who you mentioned earlier tonight, Jay. Ernie has been hosting Declare Your Independence for more than 18 years, I think, or somewhere around 2005,
years.
I think, was when he started that show. It used to actually be on the radio a long time ago. I think it was called Freedom's Phoenix or something. He called it something different back
then. Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I don't know if that's what it was in when he was on the radio, because he used to produce a guy named Charles Goyette's show. Maybe it was just the Charles Goyette show. But anyway, Ernie's got some radio background.
Oh, yeah.
And they were on, I think it was like Air America at one point before
that went down
in flames. Yep. So, yeah, they've been around for a long time. And at some point, he started his own show, Declare Your Independence. And that might have been 2005. So I'm not sure what the timetable is. But he's been around for a long time. His show's been around for a long time. It's been on the Liberty Radio Network, which is our little internet network over at LRN.FM. It's been on there for more than a decade. I'm pretty sure he started around 2010 or 2011, something like that. And he's been doing shows every single day during the week for more than a decade. And so his dedication to the craft of libertarian talk radio is, I would say, pretty much unmatched. I mean, this guy is, he gets up at, I don't know what time in the morning to start doing his show. He used to start at 6 a.m.
Yep.
Pacific time back when he did a live show. He's been doing a podcast version of the show for the last couple of years. And I think it's been a good change for him to get away from doing the live show. But what has happened is he's taken over Monday nights here on Free Talk Live, and he's doing a it is a recorded show, so he's not sitting in the studio live from 7 to 10 Eastern time, which would be 4 to 7 Pacific, because, again, he gets up early and he's producing his show early in the morning. I wouldn't want to ask him to stay up late just to do a live show when you don't really need to. And part of the reasons why it doesn't need to be live is because, honestly, this show doesn't have the same call volume that it used to. It doesn't have the same level of participation that it used to. And prior to COVID happening, I'd actually been considering making a change to Free Talk Live on weeknights. And then COVID happened, and it kind of like reinvigorated the show, I think, for a while. We did have different people calling in and talking about that particular issue, specifically what was going on, and that, to me, kept the show fresh. And the reason I started doing Free Talk Live, and I created Free Talk Live in 2002, was because I didn't feel like most talk shows really allowed for people to express whatever viewpoints that they had to express, people calling in. Most talk show hosts would only allow, you know, they would start an hour of their show with a specific topic, and then the only people who could call in were people that wanted to talk about that specific topic. And that was it. That was sort of like the standard talk radio format. And for me, that was a kind of a disappointing experience as somebody who did have things to say, like, oh, well, this talk show host doesn't want to talk about your topic. You're not going to get to call, right? Like, you're not going to get to be heard.
You got to get past the screener.
Right.
And most people didn't.
Correct. And so I wanted something that would allow for anyone to participate. And we did. We created that. That's what Free Talk Live has been. That's what it still is when we're here live in the studio. But it's gotten stale, honestly. And I, in the, you know, back in the day, I said, well, I want to create the show that I would want to listen to. And the recently, in recent years, it hasn't really been that, because we get the same five callers every single night. And sometimes those people bring good topics to the table. I'm not going to down them and say that they're always terrible or anything like that, but it gets repetitive. It's like they say in the talk radio business that the callers are the songs of talk radio. So like in music radio, you play songs and they usually play the same ones over and over again. Right?
Yeah,
that's what people want to hear, believe it or not. And in talk radio, the callers, they say, are the songs. Well, in our case, getting the same five people is kind of like getting the same song every single night. It gets a little bit tiresome. Now, of course, some people could say, well, why don't you just ban the regular callers? And that's obviously an option. I would prefer not to. I would prefer to just have a larger variety of people calling the show, but that doesn't really happen. And we're on more stations in the last decade. We've been on more stations than in the previous decade, but it doesn't seem to have increased the participation in the show, which is interesting.
So another thing too with less callers is, you know, so our culture has gotten away from, you know, oral communication.
It has, and that's got to be a factor.
Yeah, a lot of people, like
people will not answer the phone.
When I got into the hay business, I had like 6 or 7 customers that were women, mm-hmm. that I never, ever, ever heard their voice on the phone.
They would text you.
It was always a text. Mm-hmm. I would call them. I would leave them a voice message.
What ages were these women?
My age. So they were like mm-hmm. in their mid-30s.
So millennials,
definitely. Yeah, so like...
Or
like,
Gen X.
My generation is like a good split, mm-hmm. because there's like a lot of people my age that are like, oh man, just call me. I don't want to text everybody all the time. Then there's a lot of people like, oh, they don't do calls. And then you get more people who don't do calls, you know, that the younger they get and the older they get, there's more people that, you know, do the phone call.
Right. And if you listen to our callers, they tend to be on the older side.
Yep. You know? And even like with Skeeter, he sounded kind of like...
He's younger.
He's a younger guy. So like the thing he was expressing to us, he was having a hard time conveying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's probably a lot easier for him to copy and paste that and put it on like, you know, something bulletin board or whatever.
Oh yeah, he was reading a book.
Right. And like when you're reading, you know, a line of a book, you know, it's out of context to whoever's, you know, hasn't read the lines, you know, before or the chapters before. So that's kind of hard to do. And but even just like, you know, our culture is getting away from, you know, face-to-face communication, you know, and even phone calls.
I think we're worse off for it. And I'm glad you went there, because I think that's I think that is an absolute factor in what is going on. It's not to say that young people don't listen, right? Because obviously there's people that listen to podcasts. Podcasts are fairly big, and they tend to be, I think the demographics of podcast listeners are that more people that are younger are more likely to listen to
like super podcasts. Chats. Like all these podcasters have these super chats, so you pay like $5 or $20 or whatever, and it comes to the top, like the YouTubers.
Yeah, the YouTube guys do that.
And so, you know, those super chat and, you know, chat comments and stuff are you know, just flush with commentary, mm-hmm. you know, and all this stuff. There's no shortage of, you know, that kind of listener interaction, and, you know, a lot of it's trolls and mm-hmm. spam and all kinds of stuff. But you know, there's a lot of people actually taking the time to get out and start, you know, typing out that, you know, that little message. But you know, when you, but that's the way like a lot of kids are just. But that's the way a lot of young people's brains have been developed and formed is. You know, speaking,
they have something to say. Looking
someone
it.
In the eye and talking to them is not easy for them. It's not comfortable for them. You know, it's just not, you know, not a thing that they like or they're used to,
right.
or any and the text message and not having, you know, and being able to ignore it, or, you know, being able to just another thing that's happening too is you got people that like are keyboard warriors, mm-hmm. and every now and then one of them, like, you know, basically just says a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, 30 years ago they would have got a beating for. and a lot of these young kids now are growing up to where, you know, they're not getting into fights with their peers, physical fights. Like, I got in a lot of fights when I was a kid. My generation got in a lot of fights. My dad's generation got in a lot of fights. And, you know, teenagers learn respect. They learn, you know, pecking order. They learn about each other. I mean, that's kind of the way, you know, just scrapping and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening today until, and then some of these guys are just getting really bold, and all of a sudden it goes, you know, they get into an argument or, you know, a fight with somebody in person. That we usually get into, like, with on the internet, and then all of a sudden somebody gets a really bad beating out of it because they just don't have any, you know, respect for other people, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, 120 years ago in this country when everybody could carry a gun everywhere, everybody was polite.
Right.
Because you didn't want to, you know, yeah. you didn't want to upset someone to the point to where they're going to draw on you. So you were polite.
So, just to get back to what we've done here as a result, because, you know, I was pretty burned out, and I guess I should say I am pretty burned out on sort of the way things had been going, for Free Talk Live, with very low participation from those who aren't the regulars. And I'm not gonna get on the air and beg, you know, that's not what I'm gonna do. If we're not creating something that is attractive for people to participate in, if people don't value the idea of being able to be heard on national radio, which is the thing that we offer, right? Like, the average libertarian podcast doesn't offer that. They don't have the ability. They don't have radio stations that they're on at all. They're just a podcast. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to be just a podcast. There's plenty of great things about doing podcasts. For instance, you can produce them whenever you want. You don't have to be in a specific place at a specific time every single night, as we've been doing for 20 years on this radio program. But the idea was that we would create this place, this platform, where anyone could call in and express themselves, no matter how crazy the ideas might be, and we'd be able to respond to it. And like I said, it worked for a very, very long time, and for whatever reason, and maybe the reason you're bringing up here, Jay, is that the talk radio audience is aging into old age and passing away, literally. I mean, that's what they're seeing with Fox News and MSNBC, for instance. Their audiences are literally dying off. And maybe the younger people coming up just don't have the habit of picking up a phone to express themselves. I bet that is an absolute factor here. And so it's kind of gotten, the show's gotten kind of stale, I think, as a result of that. And now, you know, there's no better time than now, what with Aria DiMezzo in a prison cell for somewhat of the next 18 months. And the potential for me possibly going to prison. Hopefully not, but, you know, it could happen with the Crypto 6 charges against me. Seems like a good time to try to do some restructuring here at Free Talk Live. So we're introducing the Free Talk Live network of shows, and Declare Your Independence is going to be on Monday nights. That started this week. Also, the guys from Good Morning Liberty, which is another daily podcast in the Liberty Movement. Again, there's not very many daily podcasts in the Liberty Movement, so these guys do a great one. And they've created a nighttime show they're going to do for us on Tuesday nights, which is called Liberty at Night. They also started this week. And we may be getting something from Mark Edge and his old boss from the comic book store, Henry. They've done some live shows here and there over the last couple of years from down in Florida, and they're going to do something hopefully on Friday night this week. So we've got another iron in the fire, but I don't want to announce who that might be. So I think it's an interesting approach. It is wasn't actually my idea. It was actually Mark's idea to go in this direction, and I think it was the right choice to make, rather than just like shutting down weeknights completely and walking away from it and maybe just going internet only on occasion, to give our radio access that we have from these dozens of great radio stations that we, you know, have earned over the years, to give these other great libertarian content producers that access and that opportunity. I think it's the right thing to do. And I appreciated Tim calling in last night when the ladies were on the show. Tim, who is a regular caller, he had nice things to say about the new shows that he listened to this week. Because obviously some people are, you know, they're a little upset, right? Like they like to listen to Free Talk Live, and they didn't hear us specifically on Monday and Tuesday nights. But I think that Ernie did a great show, and I think that the Liberty at Night guys did a great show. They're bringing different topics to the table. They're bringing, you know, a different, slightly different viewpoint. They're still libertarians, but they might not have the exact same views that you'll hear espoused on Free Talk Live. And of course, we'll continue doing Free Talk Live shows whenever we can, and we may actually end up doing more shows because now we're more freed up with our schedule, meaning that we could do like one of our Freer Talk Live internet-only shows now. So that is something that we almost never did before because we're doing 7 nights a week, 3 hours a night, and it's like, that's enough in most cases. But now that we're not going to be on live on Monday and Tuesday, maybe we'll turn on the mics on a Tuesday night and, you know, talk for an hour or 2 hours instead of three or whatever. So we won't have to be as structured as we were in the past. I think it'll be an interesting change. And so I just wanted to get that out there. You can go to freetalklive.com. You can read the blog post that I made about it. There's a page on the site under network info that has more information about the new shows that we have, so you can learn more about them and the hosts that are involved in it. So, anything to say about that, Jay?
Nope. I hope it works out. Mm-hmm. I know I like coming here on Thursday nights, but I'd maybe come down here on a weekend or something. If you're just going to, you know, I don't know how far you're going to go with this, if you're going to occupy all the weekday nights or
yeah,
whatever.
I don't know how it's going to end up either, but I think it's been a good start, and we'll see how it all pans out. We do actually have some calls on the line here, so let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's your name, caller?
My name is Jared.
Jared, you're on the air.
All right. I'm going to give you just a little bit of advice. The reason that people don't quite listen to you as much is because you do tend to be kind of facetious. Like the few times I've called in, it's kind of like, you know, no matter what I say, there's always some crashing argument against me instead of just letting me say what I want to say and then just leaving it at that. Does that make sense?
So you don't like that we talk back and have a conversation?
Oh, no. You can talk back, but it's just like you can't just constantly crash somebody whenever they have a point of view.
I think I can...
What do you mean by crash, though?
Let me say this for a second. So sometimes, Ian, you're definitely like... you know, sort of hostile towards like people like Skeeter, for example.
Skeeter's hostile, so I'm going to treat him appropriately.
Sure. But like in this particular call, he didn't really seem too hostile. No. He was just trying to bring a point across. But you definitely, you know, got in like that sort of a defensive position. I think this is kind of where I'm sorry, I forget the caller's name. But it's kind of, I think, where the caller's going a little bit. And I have, in the past, there's been a couple of people who have stated to me, you know, they didn't like you and Mark bickering was, like, one complaint.
Oh, everybody complains about all kinds of things.
And,
you know, some people love it when Mark and I bicker, and some people hate it. So what are you going to do?
Sure. And also, there, you know, people have been like, oh, you know, they've complained. Some people have complained about you being like too hostile towards callers. Mm-hmm. They've complained about Aria being too hostile.
Yeah, sure.
And like I, you know, like you said, you're kind of burnt out. And
yeah, but we got those complaints before I was burnt out.
Sure. Sure. But you know, when you start getting like, you know, nonsense phone calls from people and like just annoying stuff, I can see where you sort of get a little sour. So that might be, I think, where he's going. And I'm just kind of...
Well, I guess, what do you mean, caller, when you say crash? What does that mean?
Where you just, where no matter what they say, you just have to rail against it and then just try to poke them and prod them and just try to get them, you know, mad as all get out. And you just kind of shut them down.
Well, I mean, I guess it just depends on what that person's saying. I mean, my perspective is, you know, if you're going to call in and you're advocating for whatever tyrannical government program or something, then I'm going to go at you. I mean, that's what's going to happen. I don't know what you were calling about, so I obviously have no point of reference in regards to you specifically. And if somebody calls in and they're hostile, I'm going to feed it back to them. If somebody calls in and they're just having a nice conversation, we're going to have a nice, friendly conversation. So it just kind of depends on what the person brings to the table. But I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, hey, I think what y'all are doing is great. Like, I'm not, like, trying to chop you down. I'm just saying, you know, like, let somebody finish a thought, and then if somebody is a halfway decent person, they'll finish their thought and then let you respond.
Yeah, no, I feel like we do that most of the time. The only problem is when somebody thinks that they can just go on and on and on. Like Skeeter's an example of this, where they'll just, if we let Skeeter, he would just read a page out of a book. And that's not a conversation, right?
So, yeah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, a good friend of mine called into the show. His name's Dave Kopasz. He does like a little red pill politics thing on Saturday nights on Facebook. Anyways, he he's been doing like, you know, radio stuff and podcasts for years also. And he called into your show. He was the I don't know if you remember who Dave Kopasz is.
Yeah, I remember he drug a flag
right.
around
Porkfest. That's exactly what he called in to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the call and like so at the end of the segment you're like, oh, and thank you very much for your Dave, and he still had a whole lot more he wanted to tell
you. Oh yeah, that's also
you
common.
Know, you
yeah.
know, and he was like offended that you like, you know, cut him off. And I said, well, he was at the end of the segment and you know, he had other calls coming in, and you know, don't feel offended, you know, that he says thanks, have a great day, and cut you off, because even you and I have been friends for a long time, and I call in all the time and say stuff, and then you're like, all right, Jay, thanks, and I, you know, I'll go on forever. You know, I have the ability to do that.
I have to interrupt you.
Sure.
And, if I just sit here, you'll just talk.
Right. And but so anyways, you know, I don't get offended because I just I understand what's going on. I've been here, but there are like people who are callers that, like, you know, they kind of get offended. You know, that
no
they
doubt.
Get cut off.
That's a long time complaint about just talk radio in general. Yeah. In fact, somebody gave me I forget who I was talking to today about this, but somebody gave me an example of how they called into the Alan Combs show once upon a time. He used to be a Fox host, used to be on with
Hannity. I remember him.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he asked Combs, he was going to like ask Combs a question about something, and he asked the question, or he said the thing he wanted to say to Combs to open. Combs said something back, and the caller started to respond, but he was already cut off. So they didn't even give the person this is how it goes on most talk shows.
Sure.
Is you get on, you say a thing, and then they put you on hold immediately, so you have no chance, they just drop the call immediately, so you have no chance to actually respond to what the other individual said. Whereas on Free Talk Live, we'll have the conversation. It will result in people being interrupted, but we'll actually continue the conversation until the point at which we're done with it here in the studio, in which case we'll end the conversation. We'll always say thank you for the call, but then some people who think they can just talk for a half an hour will obviously get offended by that, because, well, I had more to say. Well, call tomorrow night, then. You can say something else at that time. But it's hard to please everybody, you know. It really is. You can't.
People talking over each other, I don't understand that. Like, why not, like, raise that, like, in person? Like, why not raise a hand and say, hey, let me stop you there, and, you know, continue on. But just be freaking courteous about it. And that's long gone.
Thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. I do appreciate the feedback. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join the program, you can. And you can bring up anything you want. Just because we let you bring up anything you want doesn't mean you get to go on for a half an hour about it. You have to be interesting. It's not to say we haven't had callers on for a half an hour. We had David Hathaway on for almost the whole first hour of the show tonight. That wasn't a scheduled call. He just called in, and he's, to me at least, just that interesting of a caller.
This is the fairest show to callers I've ever experienced.
I think you're right about that. There's more coming up here. You can join us. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. Wall Street closed Thursday with stocks higher. It comes after last month's producer price index came in below expectations. The PPI rose by 0.1% against projections of 2%. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 47 points. Mayor Eric Adams is blaming media after a new poll reveals New Yorkers are increasingly worried about crime.
Speaking on Fox 5 New York, the mayor said the media plays with New Yorkers' psyches.
You travel with an armed army in a chauffeur-driven car. Go ride the train, then tell me, without your bodyguards.
The mayor's just, he's, I don't want to say delusional, but I think he's just putting a political spin on it.
One anchor said the media reports on things that actually happen. The poll also revealed 87% of respondents feel crime is a very or somewhat serious problem in New York City and across the state. I'm Natalie Migliori, NBC News Radio, New York.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We have time for you. If you want to jump in, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Jay in the studio tonight. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. And you can enjoy the features we have, including our own social media site over at social.freetalklive.com. You just hop on over there. And you can interact with other Free Talk Live hosts, some of them, and some Free Talk Live listeners, and people who don't even listen to Free Talk Live, because it is an open server. As long as you're not a spam bot, you're welcome to join. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. When you do join up, there is a question that will ask you, like, how'd you find the server, or why are you joining, something like that. Just put something in there that sounds human. Certainly, if you mention Free Talk Live, you'll get in. If you sound like you're here to spam us, we'll reject you. So, once again, it's social.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. We got Tony. He's calling us from Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to WGOW. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey there. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
In a couple of years, I'll be 60 years old. So the environment that I grew up in was big on respect. And you two gentlemen, I believe, being of a younger generation, I want to know what your thoughts are on how a person of my raising could be respectful nowadays of people, because I find myself wondering as I walk up to the door, I try to hold the door for someone, and I wonder, am I fixing to offend this person?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't worry about it personally. I hold the door for people all the time up here, and most of the time I get thanked for it, whether it's an older person or a younger person. Maybe it's just a thing here in New Hampshire. People are more courteous. I don't know. But I don't worry myself about what somebody else is going to think about a common courtesy like that. And maybe it's not that common anymore, but I still see people doing it. I had somebody hold a door for me, I think, earlier today, and I held the door for people earlier today. What do you think about that, Jay? I say don't worry about it.
Well, are you looking to earn the respect of younger folks?
No, I just want to get along. I don't want to upset anyone and start a whole thing when there doesn't have to be a whole thing started.
So, do you have any kids?
Yes.
Okay.
30-year-old.
So the first thing I recommend all people do is just treat everybody the way you want someone to treat your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay.
And I think, one of the things that we should do is be looking to earn the respect, earn the friendship, earn the likeliness of people in general. And I think the best way to do that for someone who is 60 years old, so you've been here for 60 years, you have some skills, you have some knowledge, is to, and I want to just encourage, for example, if you got grandkids, you said you got a 30-year-old. I don't know if you have grandkids or not.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, do you have any good advice or skills to offer young people? Would be my next question.
Well, yes, just life in general and how I've gotten through. I feel like I haven't made it this far by being an idiot.
So if you have something to offer young people because, you've been here for 60 years, what that does is when you start offering people real-world advice, you might have to sort of learn how to present it because the reaction might not be what you're looking for the first couple of times, and I found out the thing. But people really come to respect you and like you if you can pass wisdom on to them. Because wisdom is like this information that we get from older people that we didn't have to earn. So, and it makes, younger people's lives a lot better. When I was my whole life, I've gotten so much great wisdom by like all the guys that were my dad's friends and all the guys my dad did business with and the people I ran into and the people who offered me wisdom. I have great respect for them. I admire them. And that is, if you could offer wisdom to young people, and 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, whatever, I think that's going to go a long way for your character and going to make your neighborhood, your realm of people you run into, a better place and better for you in the long run. Because if you offer a young man or woman some wisdom and you see them again at the general store, at the Walmart or whatever, mm-hmm. they're going to smile at you. They're going to say hi. They're going to maybe ask you some follow-up questions. And I think that's just the best way to, approach people in general to sort of bridge our generations. Because there's a big gap, generational gap, between, like, yourself and, say, an 18-year-old right now.
I think that's true.
Okay, well,
go ahead, Tony.
Well, dealing with the youngest generation, the 18 to 20-year-olds, if a person my age is out in public, And if I want to try to talk to this person or impart some wisdom on this person, am I considered creepy for even speaking with them instead of texting to them?
That's a good question. And I think this would be a question for younger people to answer specifically. I mean, Jay, you and I were in our
40s. So I do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I literally approach teenage boys. And I'm like, hey, what are your guys' goals for to do this summer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like girls? And and quite often the answer is, oh yeah, I like girls. Well, do you know what girls like? And they're like, oh, well, what are girls like? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what girls like. I'm married to one, and I made babies with her, and here's what they like. They like a man who has confidence and competence. They like a man who can open up the pickle jar. They like a man that's going to stand between them and danger. They like a man that's going to be able to fix the flat tire on the car, that's going to be able to, get involved in a situation that the woman doesn't want to be involved with, whatever it is. They like a protector, a provider, somebody who's handy. If you can fix the kitchen sink.
Same thing they've always liked.
Yeah, so if you can, if you're able to walk out of the cave and defend it from the saber-toothed tiger 5,000 years ago, that's what the woman wanted. Today, it's really not much different. Mm-hmm. And you know how many teenage boys like have no idea that women are into that kind of stuff? You know, they literally think that women want them to wear the Axe body spray and, you know, have chrome wheels in their car.
I think that's what we're kind of dealing with to some extent with Tony. It sounds to me like Tony, and maybe you've had some specific examples in your life that you can relate, but it sounds like you're worried about what other people are going to think, probably based on what you've heard in the media about what young people are like. Or has something actually happened to you, Tony, to where somebody did get offended by you opening a door for them? I mean, is there a reason why you're concerned?
No, sir. You were correct on the first point. It's the media. Mm-hmm. I watch TV all the time, and it's what seems like the world is changing so much that it's going to be illegal soon for humans to talk to each other instead of. You know, it's by law you must text this person.
Yeah, I think it's overblown. You know, I mean, the media has certain reasons why they do the things they do. I mean,
it's for clicks.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's overblown. I think the thing that you ought to do, my perspective on this, like I said, if I'm opening the door for people, I don't prejudge them. Like, oh, is this person gonna not like this? If they don't like it, their problem, not mine. But I think that most people these days and in previous days just being courteous, being kind to people, showing, you know, some level of compassion for them, being honest with them, just doing all the things that a good person would do in society, you know, doing these common courtesies of holding doors open for people, saying please and thank you, right? Like, these are just basic human, what's the word that I'm looking for, to kind of...
human characteristics.
Lubricate the human interaction, right? To make human interactions better with one another. I don't think you should prejudge somebody based on their age. Just figure that they're a person just like you, and that if you would appreciate a thing, that they will appreciate the very same thing, whatever that kindness happens to be. And if you happen to encounter one of these media people that they've been portrayed in the media, if this unicorn actually exists, they probably do. If you happen to encounter somebody that is upset about something nice that you did for them, then that says more about that individual and their problems than it does about you or that you did anything wrong at all. You didn't do anything wrong, and you shouldn't worry about what somebody who's going to be all uppity about that thinks. They're going to go off, they're going to have a bad day regardless of what you did.
I think I got a good answer for the caller.
So if that happens, how do I respond?
Well, you can walk away.
Yes, but if it does,
you can either walk away and ignore them, or pull out your. If you've got a cell phone on you, you can pull out the video camera and just get them on. get a record of it and then put it online, and you'll go viral with the Karen.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. We want to use body language to sort of approach the situation. So I learned about body language from horses growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So in the wild, if you go to into the forest and you see a snake that has very bright colors, I would stay away from that snake.
Mm-hmm.
You see a frog that is bright pink or bright yellow or any of these animals that have these, you know, colors, I stay away from them. So if you see somebody who has hair that is hot pink, right, or purple or blue. This could I hate to even say this, but this is possibly
that.
A warning that they are, you know, projecting to the to the world, and you might have a little confrontation with that kind of individual.
I wouldn't treat them any differently.
You know, individual. No, I wouldn't treat them any differently either.
You're just saying be warned. Okay,
so if you're concerned, you know, don't go play with the bright yellow animals in the forest if you're not sure how to interact with the forest creatures because the culture is so far apart. So trying to identify people, you know, based on their appearance, if they have, you know, really good logic and reasoning skills, is a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But like one of my good friends, her hair was pink when I, when she came home from down south this spring, and I'm like, hey, is that a warning to everybody? Because she knew exactly what I was talking about. She's mm-hmm. like, yes, it is. It keeps some of them away or something, like she mm-hmm. said. You know, we were just laughing yeah. about it. But, you know, the idea that there's the kind of people you're going to offend by opening the door from them, by being courteous, by treating them the way you want someone to treat your son or daughter. Mm-hmm. Or your aging grandfather, right? I mean, yeah. my grandmother's 90 years old. I would love it if somebody held a door for her. She's upset because yeah. she goes into places and people just walk by and don't hold the door.
Yeah, sure.
And some of those doors, she has a hard time dealing with them.
Yep.
And, so if, you know, the thing is, the kind of people you're going to get blowback from are the kind of people who their brain's been rewired, their frontal lobe is not connecting, you know, to the proper part of the brain. It should be. It's more connected to the part of the brain that's, you know, activated by, you know, alcohol, by drugs and
rage.
I've
held the door for a lot of people, and I've never had anybody huff at me for it.
I neither have, but I do understand what he's talking about. And those examples...
Yeah, right, neither have I.
And those examples...
I've never had that happen either.
Right.
But,
I'm sorry.
But those examples are also a thing like rage porn. So, like, the media really likes to push rage porn, which is like these headlines of, like, something really awful happened because it's clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. a lot of media for, like, the past several few decades, their revenue comes from how many clicks they can get. So they want to create these headlines. They want to create this rage porn that people are going to, like, you know, click on this and look at it. And that, I believe, has sort of taken the younger people who are getting all of their, you know, information sort of from, like, these media outlets, you know, whatever they are, and has sort of, you know, or not even just people in general are afraid now to be in these situations where they're going to do something nice because these are the kind of things that are publicized in the media. And the world is not as bad as the media wants you to believe.
No, absolutely not. And the media and the governments, of course, they want to divide people, right? We know they want to divide people by not just their politics or their gender or their, you know, or their race or whatever. They want to divide them by age, and that's why we hear so much talk about the boomers versus the zennials and, you know, the Gen X versus... And it's just all such nonsense. People are still just people. They just, you know, they want to have somebody who cares about them in their life. They want to live and have some kids and take care of their kids. And, like, there's just certain goals that people have in life, and they want to be happy, you know, and feel satisfied, like they've accomplished things in their lives. And that's true no matter where you go on Earth. It's true of whatever kind of people, whatever color of their skin, and whatever their age is. So let's just start treating people like human beings. Thank you, Tony, for the call tonight. I really appreciate it. It's a great question, and I appreciate hearing from you. And good luck out there.
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right.
Treat people the way you want people to treat your children, and, man, the world's going to be such a good place.
Let's continue. James is in Miami. James, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Jay.
Well, hi. Thank you, guys. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you're all right. Go ahead, James.
Oh, thank you. The thing is, I was going to call about something else, you know. But the thing is, I was hearing when I was listening before the one before this one, he said something that made me think. Because I heard you saying one of the shows before how you were wondering if you guys were like going against either right wingers or left wingers, and you were wondering about that. I mean, because you were saying that you were not sure or something like that, you know. And that's the thing I was wondering about. When I first started listening to your show many years ago, like when Bush was around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, the episodes back then were, like, awesome, you know. I mean, they were just awesome. And then I heard you say something about it's not the same as it used to be. There's, like, not many callers, except for, like, the people that call every night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about that. I mean, could it be possible that some people... Okay, I don't want to say that the show might be going in a more left-wing direction. Like, I don't want to say that. But it's some of the hosts, they say things that would bring leftists, you know, I don't mean liberals, I mean like real hardcore Marxists, the crazy types, you know, like what the man, the gentleman here was saying about the pink hair and the purple hair, those kind of people, you know, but real crazy ones, leftists, Marxists, communists, whatever. And of course, you guys are not that kind of show. You guys are libertarians, mm-hmm. but that makes me think of a caller. I don't want to snitch, but that's not what I was originally calling about. It's a caller that he always saying how bad the, you know, he calls to say that Republicans are always bad, Trump is bad, all of this, you know, and I'm kind of upset by that because the guy says something racist.
Are you talking about Jerome?
Yeah, I don't want to snitch, man, but he used a racist term, you know, something that starts with uncle and, you know, and sellout. He was talking about a conservative black person, and he just threw those words out, thinking that you guys are not going to say, well, it wasn't, you were not on me, you were not on, it was Captain, the Captain and someone, I don't remember, but yeah, he said those words, Uncle P, and I'm like, wow, this guy
Uncle
has
Tom.
The courage to
Uncle
say
Tom.
This racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and then that made
That's
me wonder,
a racist term.
You know, you guys...
just a character in a book, but what about it though, James? And what's the concern here? I mean, James, are you referring to a gentleman who calls on the show? Usually, he calls on Saturday or Sunday. Jerome, he's a gentleman who lives in South Carolina. He's a total partisan. He believes, you know, everything the Democrats do is good. Everything the Republicans do is bad. I'm not sure what your concern is.
Cult member
well,
me.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm hoping that you guys are not going more left than right, and instead we stay in the middle, you know. Because I know.
Yeah, no, I don't think the response. The fact that Jerome calls in is not any kind of indication of what's on the air. I mean, most of the time Jerome is in complete disagreement with the opinions of the hosts of this show. So I don't think he's an indicator of anything at all. And usually the response is to have as much fun with Jerome as possible, because he is fairly entertaining in the way that he is a complete partisan. Like, he's a perfect example of someone who does not think. He does not think about anything at all. He just simply regurgitates the things that he hears from the left-wing talking points.
Oh, he should call in next Thursday. I'd like to talk to him.
It'd be awesome if he called during the week, but he doesn't. Yeah. He just, for whatever. I think it's because we're on in South Carolina, in Charleston, on the radio on Saturday and Sunday, so he's actually listening, I think, when he's calling in. So we almost have never heard from him during the week. James, yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about that, man. The show has always been libertarians, and we attract various scholars.
That's why I listen, you know. But Ian, just one last thing, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask you. I know that you were talking about callers and the usual callers. Do you remember a guy that used to call some about when Mr. Perry was there? It was the guy that would call in, and he I think it was in the Philippines, and he would always say, "Oh, I hate Obama." You remember him?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh, the guy from New Jersey. Ralph.
Ralph. Obama. Yeah, that guy.
Okay, I thought he was from the Philippines or something. Right?
I think he was from the Philippines, maybe.
But he was living in New Jersey. Yeah, I remember
that guy was a real character, man.
Well, what happened to him? You guys didn't
I don't know.
Know
we don't ever. We almost never find out. You know, like if somebody is. I don't know what his age was, right? But we've been on for 20 years, right? So some of our callers have passed away over the years.
I know.
So I mean, maybe that's a possibility, or he just moved on.
But Ian, I was wondering when you guys get to like I don't know your 1 millionth episode, do you guys plan on doing like a special show where you guys?
I don't think we're going to be alive at one. None of us are going to be around anymore at 1 million episodes.
So what number are you guys on right now?
I don't know. 20 years. If we're on every day, 365 days a year, I mean that is a lot of episodes. But I think a million would definitely put us past
like 7,400.
The point of no return.
Well,
thank you, James.
I was hoping that you guys would do that. Well, thank you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks
man.
For the call, man. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. A million episodes. I don't know how many years that would be, but it would be a lot. Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, speaking of old men that ain't dead, I'm amazed I got through to you. I had to call information to get the call-in line number, My phone got nuked the other night. It just flat died. I lost all my contacts and everything.
Wow, I'm amazed you can get our number from information. That's amazing.
Yeah, it took a little difficulty. I had to bump through a couple operators and whatnot, but I actually got connected.
Amazing.
So
right.
I know the last four. What is the prefix on the call-in line?
It's 603-283-6160. Of course, we give it out many times during the show, so if you listen, then it shouldn't be too hard to figure it out. What were you calling about tonight, Major?
Well, the other one I wanted was the listen line, because that's what I generally use. That's how I'm no longer on here.
Yeah, just if you want to hang on, I'll give it to you after the show. What were you calling about?
All right. Well, there's nothing new in my world other than I've been fighting with Verizon and Straight Talk for 2 weeks. I used to have a Straight Talk phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the thing just flat died on me.
Mm.
In the middle of, I was listening to you guys sitting here dozing on the couch. And I just thought maybe the battery had died. But that wasn't the case. It would not turn on. It would not do anything. When I did pop the chip out, I finally did get the battery to charge. And it didn't die because of a dead battery. It just died.
Yeah. Every day is an adventure.
I got a friend who's a cell phone guru that helps me out. He goes on, I think it's called Swappa.com, and he bought me a couple of reconditioned Pixel 3As. They're like $100 a piece.
Nice.
Cheap. They're like I don't need like high powered whatever phone,
right.
You know. And he put all the de-Google stuff on and set me up with some things. But
that's the way to go, is to get a reconditioned phone. I've done it many times.
So like, if you had like a 1968 Camaro, the guy you want to work on it is the guy who loves those old muscle cars.
Mm-hmm.
So a buddy of mine, he loves phones.
Gotta know that
internet
guy.
Internet devices. So he's my guru.
You gotta find that guy, Major. Thanks for the call. Put you on hold here. We'll get to the listen lines off the air. I wanted to talk about the library thing. I'll just give you the bullet points. I went through the case filing here from the judge. Odyssey's not enjoined, so Odyssey will continue on. They're not going to have to pay a fine. They're not going to get shut down. Library is not allowed to basically continue existing, the corporation. They're going to have to close down.
Their app still works.
That's the thing. The code is going to continue. Will they launch? Will the library supporters launch their own decentralized autonomous organization? I don't know. These are some of the things that I think we'll find out in the coming months. And let's see what else. The court ruled that holding or purchasing library coins for consumptive purposes is okay, and that is not a violation of the Securities Act. So if you bought library coin on an exchange, then that was not an illegal sale or anything like that. Or if you've sold your library coin to somebody else just as a person-to-person sale, it sounds like that's okay, according to this judge. Jay, you've got something coming up you want to promote.
So, yes, I am going to be a speaker, a presenter at the Nonconformist Series, August 11th through 13th. Go to anarchopoco.com to learn more about this. Learn how to build healthy homes and lifestyles you deserve.
This is an online thing, right?
Online thing, yes.
At anarchopoco.com.
That's correct.
Coming up August, about a month from now?
Yep.
All right, very cool. Out of time for tonight. If you didn't get on tonight, we'll be back on, I think, maybe tomorrow, definitely Saturday, with another live episode of Free Talk Live. Meanwhile, you can join us online at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.